The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. The song, Give Me What Is Mine. You know what? I get a mango tree, right? And part of the tree hangs over the road. And every once in a while, God is smile and say, you know what? We're putting the majority of the mangoes on the roadside. And mind you, they high up. So you probably still can't get them until you get in the... But... every once in a while, people just drive by and turn and smile and say, give me what is mine. In fact, I had a neighbor one day, years ago, I heard a car door open, the pitter-patter of little feet, and I looked out. So I was one of my neighbors and their grandchildren. And my neighbor said, child, God put these set on the roadside so I wouldn't have to be a thief. Let's wait together. Anyway, I hope we are all working together this summer, and I hope we are realizing the value that lays right at our feet. The one and only big on DeVito Bode said, there's money on the ground, there's money on the ground. Can't you see the money on the ground? All right, it's Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 2025. I think we're going to do open line today. I get stories. But we're going to do open line today. I got a little housekeeping going on. We got a trivia question. We got the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition for junior and high school students, especially now that they are on vacation. They could take some time out to engage in this competition and do a little research. Also, let's start it. Let's get it going. Equality Bahamas is Women's Wednesday. Event is taking place tonight. The Equality Bahamas series of feminist standards for governance workshops continue tonight at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, West Hill Street. You can join them this week to contribute to a people-driven agenda for 2026-2031. They will have two working groups. One group working on developing standards for governance in the social service space, and the second group will be working on developing standards for governance in the environmental policy space. Each group will identify an issue and go through the process that Equality Bahamas has designed to find the root of the issue, connected with systems, and develop solutions. All are welcome to participate in the sessions or direct experience in the thematic areas. That's tonight, July 2nd, 6 p.m., National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And to register, you go to tiny, that's tiny.cc/ Feminist Standards. tiny.cc/Feminist Standards. That's Equality Bahamas' Women's Wednesdays Developing Feminist Standards for Governance Workshop at National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Okay, let's get to the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition. Again, this competition is open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago of the Bahamas. The organizer of the competition has with the support of new donors, new funders, been able to four winners. Once again, we want to say thank you to Mr. Jonathan Turnberry, Marketing Director of Caribbean Bottling Company, Coca-Cola, for their sponsorship to the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition. So now there are four potential winners, one from New Providence, one from Grand Bahama, one from San Salvador, and one from the rest of the family islands to win the prize. Now listen, prize money is $450 and up. A number of sponsors and donors, gift certificates, and other prizes. Here's what you need to do to win. First of all, you need to call the Guardian. Let us know you want to play the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition. You're going to provide the producer when you're transferred over with your name, your contact information, the answers to these two questions. We need the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. The government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. And we need the date, the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. That's what we're looking for to be a winner. You're going to call in name and contact information, most important, so we can get back to you and let you know if you are a winner or not. I just got this flyer. It looks very, very interesting. Annex Baptist Church presents Transformation 2025 Youth Conference. It's in the pain, inspiring change through adversity. Annex Baptist Church, Wolf Road and Pinedale, Saturday, July 5th. That's this Saturday. Time, 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Fun Fest. Shop, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Here are the topics. It's okay not to be okay. Boy, you know what? We need to support our men and let them know that it's okay to not be okay. Like, we know you're a pillar of strength for your family, for your community, but it's okay not to be okay. From pain to purpose, and from pain to His glory. Groups of 10 or more could register for $20. Individual adults, $25. Children, 12 years and under, $12. Interesting. 2025 Youth Conference, Annex Baptist Church, it's in the pain. Listen, I'm very interested in how this concept will be brought to young people, you know, in a collective manner. It's going to be quite interesting. Okay, now, we've got a trivia giveaway. Beauty Inc. Studios, Sharika Stewart, founder and owner, operator, Beauty Inc. Studios, was a guest on Monday. They want to give away one prize to one winner. And I got a trivia question for you. Now, you know, we in Independence, today, Wednesday, the 2nd of July, is National Day of the Family on the 52nd Independence calendar of events. The theme for today is National Day of the Family, right? So, we celebrating independence, and I got a trivia question. I just need first person to give me the correct answer for this question will win a special prize from Beauty Inc. Studios. Again, I need you, if you call in and you get the correct answer, I need you to hold the line while we transfer you to the producer, so I could get your contact information so I could give it to Ms. Stewart at Beauty Inc. Studios. Here is the trivia question. I want to thank my producer for helping me with this question. He may not know the answer to this. I didn't know until the producer told me. Okay, here is the question. Y'all know the song Burma Road, right? Okay, good. Going down Burma Road, ain't lick nobody. The one that started with Don't Mind Livingston, Josiah's the JP, that one we know? Okay, so here's the question. Who performed Burma Road first? Who performed Burma Road first? Was it Ronnie and the Ramblers or King Eric and his Knights? To win the special prize by Beauty Inc. Studios, the question for today, who performed Burma Road first, Ronnie and the Ramblers or King Eric and his Knights? On the line right away. Good morning, caller.
Hey, what are you saying, Aaron? Good day.
Good day, good day. Morning.
Morning. You said Ronnie and the Ramblers or King Eric?
Yeah, and his Knights.
I think it was King Eric, eh?
But you put the A on the back there. Canadian, eh?
No, I think it's King Eric.
Well, look here, you's a winner.
Okay, well, I thought so.
Winner, chicken dinner. See, okay, for me, I could be honest, I always thought Ronnie. Like, the young people say he ride the beat?
Yeah, because I think it's the one that became more famous.
Yeah.
That's what we know. That's the one what everybody knows is Ronnie and, yeah.
And the Ramblers. And I think what it is, my producer pointed out to me, he said, you could see Ronnie took it and sped it up.
Yeah.
He increased the tempo.
Yeah.
Make it a more jamming vibe. And that's something, maybe Ronnie was a DJ.
Yeah, Ronnie was a DJ. Hey, and another thing, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't really remember who it is. That's my next, that could possibly be another trivia.
Okay, absolutely, because guess what? We discussed that earlier. In the year, around in the month, in fact, in June, around Labor Day, an excerpt from Dr. Stephen Ariner's book, Toward a New Democratic Franchise. It examines like the journey to universal suffrage, which is everybody, one place and one vote. And in there's the question of which road, like, are they referring to when they say Burma Road? Now, because I think that's a great trivia question, I'm not going to give the answer right now.
No.
Absolutely. So hold the line. Give the producer your number, your contact information. I will forward that to Ms. Stewart, owner and operator of Beauty Inc. Studios.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you. You young to know that. YouTube, this internet thing, there's all kinds of Bahamian music and sort of nuggets of Bahamian history all over the internet. But it's like a scavenger hunt, right? It's like a scavenger hunt. See, because with the scavenger hunt, you need a clue to find the thing. And if you don't have enough clues, then you will have great difficulty it takes you to find these things. I see you text. Hey, I think you gave me the correct answer. That's what we read at the beginning of June while we were talking about Labor Day. I want to say thank you again to Beauty Inc. Studios. They provide several services, including scar removal, or they call camouflage tattooing, skin rejuvenation services, and what they call stretch mark removal. Very, very interesting. Okay, so today, Wednesday the 2nd of July, National Day of the Family. Today we celebrate the Bahamian family with a call to strengthen bonds and restore the family as the cornerstone of our community. Share a meal, play games, and enjoy meaningful time together to foster love, pride, and lasting memories. Right? And I say, well, how are people going to do that? Are there any guides? Is there a list of events taking place today that people could participate in or over the next couple of weeks that's focused on strengthening the family specifically? But I tell you what I like about it, right? You say, while we celebrate the Bahamian family, for a very long time, we have been perpetuating what is, in fact, a myth that the nuclear family is the traditional family in the Bahamas. And that's not quite so. You get a chance this weekend, this week, next week, as a part of the Independence celebrations. You can find you a copy of I Is Man by Dr. Ian Strawn, right? And they're a fascinating documentary, very informative. Dr. Nicolette Bethel in particular speaks about the kind of the myth of the nuclear family, right? But stick that right there. What has kept the Bahamas vibrant is the just not necessarily always only the nuclear family. It is the strength of the extended family, right? It's the strength of the family, but understanding that in this post-colonial space, families are formed in all kinds of ways. Now, listen, it's not a speech on gay rights. It's not what this is at all. But this is recognizing that, you know, outside of the sexual orientation paradigm, put that aside, many of us feel odd. Many of us are other. Many of us don't actually fit the norm. And many of our families are shaped in a non-traditional way, but that doesn't diminish the strength of the family, right? And what people are prepared to do for each other and the sacrifices people make each other. So I got some stories today that are kind of highlighting. There's stories about family. Some of them are super positive. Some of them are not quite as positive, but I think require our attention. But like I said, it's open line. There's lots in the paper to talk about. The numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Text line is always powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. So I got lots to talk about. I got some stories about the family. I got some stories about family islands, vulnerable communities. And I got an interesting couple of stories here. Let's see if we could get to them. But again, I also want to hear what you want to talk about. So let's start with some stories on the National Day of the Family. Now, this one is a very sad story, but I think there's some elements in here that we should recognize. Christie family grieving another traffic fatality. This is in yesterday's Tribune. Philippa Christie, sister of the three Christie brothers who died in a car crash last September, is now facing unimaginable grief again after her eldest son, 18-year-old Jimmy J.J. Johnson, was killed in a traffic accident in Andrus on Sunday night. Jimmy's death comes less than a year after Miss Christie lost her brothers, Philip DiCaprio Christie and D'Angelo Christie, 24, 23, and 20, respectively, in a crash on Sir Milo Butler Highway. Police said the teen, that's Jimmy J.J. Johnson, died following a two-car collision shortly after 9 p.m. in Andrus. Unfortunately, he died on the scene. The second man was taken to the local clinic and later airlifted to New Providence. Miss Christie described Jimmy, who would have turned 19 on July 17th, as a loving, respectful young man with a passion for fishing and diving. Miss Christie told the Tribune in an emotional interview yesterday, now preparing another funeral, Miss Christie said she's trying to stay strong for her other children. She also expressed frustration over the lack of emergency medical resources on the family islands, urging the government to do more. Let me say condolences to the Christie family. This must just be unbearable. In that article, I encourage people to go and find the article. And producer, let's prep this caller. In that article, you know, Miss Christie is very honest about her son and her relationship with her son. Let's go to the phone line. We'll get back to that story. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you
doing? How are you doing this morning?
Good. How you do?
There you go. I would like to say something because just a month ago, I lost a nephew coming to Key to Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
And as the lady was, as you said, the lady said about emergency response in the Outer Island,
mm-hmm.
is just about none or none at all. I lost a nephew, in fact, trying to get to Nassau. And I wish that the government could really look into trying to better the facilities within the islands,
mm-hmm.
and to help the Bahamians in case of emergency. If you can't get to Nassau, then go to America, you know, if your family could afford it.
Man.
That's what I mean. I hope that the Minister for Health, he understands this, because I heard him saying something this morning, but really and truly, that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you very much for that call. And I got some stories. We're going to head in that direction in a moment. Thank you once again and condolences for your loss. I just wanted to say this story, Christie family grieving another traffic fatality. The mother, she was very honest. She's very honest about her son. She said, look, this boy wasn't the perfect boy. She said he was respectful. He's loving. She said, listen, my children, there's not a day goes by where my children didn't call me and don't call me and say, mommy, I love you. You know, mommy, how you doing? But, you know, she said, listen, this boy, he used to pick up things. He used to thief, but nothing serious, not physical crime against the person, right? He wasn't that type of guy. He was respectful and people generally liked him. He had a passion for fishing and diving. You know, but Miss Christie, she's trying to stay strong for her other children. Yeah, and it just speaks to some of the difficulties, how hard it is sometimes to hold families together, right? Anyway, we say to the Christie family, you know, condolences on your loss, and we hold space for you as you process your grief. Another quick story. Father jumps from Disney cruise ship to save daughter who went overboard. A father dived into the sea to save his daughter after she fell from a Disney Cruise Line ship on its way back to Fort Lauderdale from a four-night Bahamas sailing. It has been reported. The incident reportedly happened on Sunday when an alert sounded to signal man overboard. A spokesperson for the cruise line told USA Today that the crew, quote, swiftly rescued. A fellow passenger posted to Facebook that a girl had fallen overboard and her father jumped in to save her, before both were collected by the Disney rescue team. The incident took place while the ship was cruising between the Bahamas and Florida. I say that's a father's love, hey? That's a father's love. Another quick two headlines before we transition. Man accused of injuring 9-month-old son. A 28-year-old father was granted bail yesterday after allegedly injuring his 9-month-old son by ramming the vehicle into his vehicle into the back of the child's mother's car last month. The man, whose name is withheld to protect the minor's identity, was charged with cruelty to children before Magistrate Carolyn Voigt Evans. I just want to know why in this instance we are withholding the name to protect the minor's identity. Not that protecting minors' identity is not important, but I thought that was restricted for cases that involved physical abuse, incest, sexual violence, right? I just wonder it. Anyway, the gentleman, he must be fitted with a monitoring device, and he was warned not to interfere with any witnesses in the case while he was out on bail. Listen, cars are dangerous weapons. What you mean you ramming? It's alleged. It's alleged. Why are we using cars as weapons? Why are we not on here? Okay, we're going to transition quickly to another story. 12-year-old ordered removed from home as guardians face sex abuse charges. A magistrate on Monday ordered a 12-year-old placed with Child Protective Services because her guardians are facing child sexual abuse charges. The assistant chief magistrate made the order after the child's 42-year-old mother and her stepfather, a 45-year-old pastor, were charged on June 19th, with molesting her older sibling. Right? How come it took so long? How come it took so long? The case is still before the court, so we say here. All I can say is, how come it took so long to have the child removed from that space? Okay. The text here, any news on the unlicensed company given the $10 million loan by government? Question mark. What type of company is it, and were they granted any government contracts? I don't know. I mean, you're looking at this text right now. I almost don't know what you, I'm not sure what you're talking about, text. Give me some more information so I could do some research. I promise I won't read it out loud. Okay, let's transition to some other stories. Caller called in on the heels of the Christie story and reiterated their personal experience, a tragedy unfolding within another tragedy, which is a lack of appropriate emergency response resources throughout the archipelago. So I got some stories in that vein. Abaco shelter misses latest deadline, but finish in sight. There's a Shakespeare quote somewhere about God's making men mad. Boy, sometimes politics will drive you to say the oddest things. Despite government promises that Abaco's long-delayed hurricane shelter would be completed by today, that was yesterday, 1st of July, officials from the Disaster Risk Management Authority say the facility is still unfinished. Alex Storr, the authority's executive chairman, told the Tribune yesterday that while work is progressing, the shelter will not be fully completed on schedule. Let's stick a pin right there. I got a call day before yesterday. They said, why do you have to be so critical about everything? Let me tell you the benefit of being critical about everything. It was like 21 that I was on a Zoom call, a consultation on the, the layout of the office of the data commissioner or information commissioner and the rollout of freedom of information and the 10 agency pilot project. It's just one little, it was a pion thing, you know, it wasn't anything super, super important. Like, I know they wasn't going to take my words seriously, right? But even then, I predicted that we were going to be here and there would be no operational Freedom of Information Act. I predicted that. You know how I predicted it? Through critical interrogation of what was available to me in the public domain. That's it. That's all I needed. Same thing happened with the hurricane shelter. I don't tell you. You know how I knew? Critical interrogation of the information available in the public domain coupled with, right, coupled with an assessment of what it is I have observed historically. All right, there's some text here. Text says, Tribune, June 19, 2025. Opposition leader Mr. Michael Pintard has sounded the alarm over a $10 million government loan issued to Carmichael Village Project Development Company Limited, a firm not in good standing with the Registrar General and allegedly failing to meet legal obligations. This is what the text says. I can do that research. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Ms. Green, I, yesterday morning on Dwight Joe, I think it was yesterday morning, he had mentioned somebody, he was reading off the news, and mm-hmm. he was reading off that someone who had been charged, had been placed, given an ankle monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was surprised, like he said, he didn't feel as if that was the circumstances, in his opinion, like really, you know what I mean?
Okay, was he saying, was he saying that the ankle bracelet was in the, like it was inappropriate, like the crime didn't warrant?
It was excessive, yeah, he felt as if it was excessive.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's how I read, he felt as if it was excessive. And I mean, like I said, I feel as if it's wrong to have a private individual being in charge of the anchor monitors. You know what I mean? I feel as if that's strictly a police to do, you know, the kind of way, and that really could save millions of dollars because, Howard and I had a discussion on it because Howard had given a figure that each ankle monitor, they charge by the hour, you know, that kind of way, and then he had given out how many Indians worked at the market.
Yes, what do you mean they charge by the hour?
They monitor in each individual by the hour.
Okay. You saw the story coming emanating out of Florida, right? With the Gator Alley super prison.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see the story. I haven't seen it yet. No,
they've been floating around. I mean, I think they're very close to it. They want to put a supermax detention center in Alligator Alley, right?
Well, I gotta go look it up.
And one of the reasons they're saying is because like it's gonna deter escape attempts. Because all you can meet out there in the swamp is alligators. See, as an African, see, there's a sermon that Miles Monroe gave decades ago. The only reason I know about the sermon is because somebody at ZNS decided that they sermon like right after a big LGBT issue was in the news. Cool. That's the only reason I know about the sermon. Sermon, Miles Monroe talked about how God was so disgusted by the gayness that he vomited his retribution onto the earth. Every time I think about this idea that we're going to put detainees and deportees and people who possibly their only crime is undocumented migration, that we're going to put them in a super detention center in the middle of a swamp filled with alligators, that make me want to vomit up because as an African, it's intolerable. You know what they used to do in Florida? They used to feed little African babies to alligators for fun, as recreation, like how you turn on ZNS and watch The Spot for comedy.
Yes,
that's what people used to do with Africans and alligators. Okay, so...
And you know something else to my screen, what I wanted to talk about, one quick thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, we really need to look into the ankle monitoring thing.
You don't want me to make the connection? Let me make the connection to the ankle monitoring thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, man, I just didn't want you to prevent me from making...
No, okay, so this when you say to me that these people charging by the hour, I got to verify it. We got to verify it. But you could imagine if they charging by the hour, it gives you a sense of what they think, how they thinking about it. You telling me that in the face of all of this, we've created our own prison industrial complex in the Bahamas where people are making money off of the suffering of both the victims and the suspects and the perpetrators. That's three, not both, but all three of them. Okay, that's like the link I was monitoring.
Yeah, like I say, Mom, I mean, if it's something that we never want to do, is you never want to make crime a business. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So whenever you see someone want to invest into a prison or privatize a prison system, that's scary because it's become a business. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that thing what they be doing for mosquito spraying. That's spraying for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Right?
The fogging.
Because I could always tell it, because to me, it smells, has this, like, almost like a guava-ish scent to me. You know, so I could always smell it, so I could always identify when it's being sprayed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even hear it, but I smelled it, and I noticed that they've been a couple of days in a row. And, I mean, I look it up a little bit, and they said that, I mean, because that is an insecticide, you know what I mean? That is poison, right, being sprayed in the open atmosphere. Right? So I wanted to look up and see, like, you know what I mean? Like, is that really safe, 100% safe? And it says that it's not really entirely safe as long as it ain't too much.
See what they say? Okay. So, I feel you. They're saying that it's safe, but I know that it is having an effect on the bee population in areas where it's being used.
Other insects on top of that, too. I mean, like, that's water. That's water and different things. You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what we need to do is we need to just practice proper prevention. You know what I mean? Neighbors need to watch neighbors and make sure that they don't have any containers around their yard that's holding water and stuff like that, where mosquitoes can breed and different things, clean around the place so mosquitoes don't have a place to breed, etc. But we don't need to be spreading that thing around, especially like I said before, and like how you mentioned before, if it might be having an effect on the bees. Bees are very important in the ecosystem.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Bees are very important. Bees are vital. You understand? So we should, and I mean, because I look around too, I don't see a lot of the insects and different stuff that I used to see when I was young. I don't see as much butterflies as I used to see. I don't see it much. I don't even see those blue iguanas like I used to see, the little smaller blue. I don't see none of those things anymore.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, everything is just changing right before my very eyes. But, Ms. Green, one more thing, too.
Yep.
I saw a thing where they say that they were having this discussion. I don't know how true it is, but because the gentleman was, but I mean, he's normally credible, but he was saying that they was having this discussion in the States where an age from 18 to like 7 or 8.
You mean the age of consent?
The age of dependency, like where you could, a child could fend for themselves.
Listen,
you heard anything about that?
Listen, I got about to tell you, 10 years ago, I would tell you that's utter foolishness. Today, 2025, I'm going to tell you, pay attention. Pay attention,
that's,
because children,
well, very serious, because
children are the most vulnerable among us.
Yes, and because I saw a TED Talk where this lady had this TED Talk a few years back on, you know they have them TED Talk thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a TED Talk, and she was talking more or less like we need to like take a second look at how we look at pedophilia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, these people are wild.
Like, look at it, bear. It isn't so bad. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Now you see these things. So these things can be a slow cooking.
A slippery slope.
Like you say before, yeah, slowly desensitize you and program you to things like the frog in the pot. You know, you turn the water, you turn the heat up slow, so the frog don't really, you know what I mean? He's just chilling. And next thing you know, he's boiling.
Yep. Another, thank you so much. Another intolerable conversation. Like, pedophilia is maybe not that bad. Yep, it is. See, even when we make the distinction, pedophilia is like a predilection, like a desire, a sexual attraction to prepubescent. So they're little children where the boys and the girls look alike, right? They're so young, the boys and the girls look alike. You can't tell the difference. It's prepubescent. That's pedophilia. Then there's a category like right above prepubescent. To like 15, 16, to about 15, there's another term for a sexual attraction or an inability to control a sexual attraction to that age category. And then there is an age category like from 16 to 18, like right in there. So there's three different. So in many instances, we've been using the word pedophilia incorrectly, like we're applying it to the wrong dynamic, but all the dynamics are bad. Or we could have a conversation that acknowledges that young people are sexual beings. We could have a conversation that acknowledges what we learn in biology, that prepubescent into puberty, your body, some switches are turning on and your hormones are turning on and starting to operate differently, or some new ones coming on stream, right? We understand that young people have a sexual nature to them that have nothing to do with adults. Have nothing to do with adults. We got some bad, bad culture in this place. Good morning, Miss Green. That spray that guy is referring to in the rich area, it's odorless. Only in the inner city, it has a scent. No, man. I live in a semi-bushy area. I did smell it, too. But we see, we have a right to be a part of this conversation, because once again, this is another clear example of where the state will restrict your rights to make their job easier, right? To make their job easier, they prepared to put anything upon you. Let's get back to this. Abaco shelter misses latest deadline, but finish in sight. Quote from Alex Storr, the authority's executive chairman. Quote, work on the shelter is going on full speed ahead. Close quotes. I like the pun. Hurricane shelter, full speed. Quote, the shelters should be usable shortly. What does shortly mean? But it won't be completed because there are still some things that need to be done. But it will be a usable shelter in the next couple of weeks. This is a shelter. It's not a tuck shop. What you mean it's not completed, but we could still use it as a hurricane shelter? No. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
Right here, my dear. Another beautiful day in paradise. Two things popped up ahead about this hurricane shelter.
Yes, sir.
First and foremost, if this shelter was being financed by a bank, and, you know, the bank would normally choose every time, would charge you for every missed day over the due date.
Mm-hmm.
That this facility was supposed to be completed. Did they give a reason why this facility has not been completed up to the due date that they proposed, it would have been completed?
The project has faced several setbacks. Remember last September, trusses on the shelter collapsed? As Abaco marked the 5th anniversary of Hurricane Dorian. And then more recently, there was a vandalism incident, right? But see, right. What I found interesting was that vandalism incident, like they attempted to set some things on fire, but they couldn't get anything to light.
Uh-huh.
And so I think the damage was so minimal that it should not have necessarily affected the opening date.
Uh-huh.
But nothing else, really. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Well, here's the craziest thing about that. Where is the information on, as far as the ongoing investigation to locate that person? There's nothing out here swirling that the incident is still being investigated. You know, these things, like I said, we look at them as trivial, because these are not trivial. These are things that we really need to put the fire to their feet to get done. But more than anything, you know, to come out to the public and explain to the public what's going on in this process.
Mm-hmm.
My last point here before I go. Yeah, it seems to be that there's some spraying going on, because I smelled it as well about 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that there was no public announcement that I know of. Persons have sensitive creatures, animals, children. Don't you think an announcement should have been put out there so persons could actually begin to protect their animals or little children, or even to the point you have persons who are sensitive who have breathing problems? Don't you think that they should have made an announcement? Going to be spraying it?
Jeff, I can say something very wild. We have 2,000 plus lawyers in this country. 2,000 plus-ish. That's like the last estimate I've seen. And yet you don't see any real chiffing in jurisprudence or legal engagement, because if I were a lawyer, I would say, hey, are there any people here who are experiencing health, respiratory or health issues? They may have been affected by fogging that they couldn't avoid because they didn't know.
Wow. Aaron, you just opened my mind just now. And it led me to the commercials that we see on the American stations, where, hey, anybody who has a case or whatever, you just call the lawyer and the lawyer will stand up. But you see, the legal system in this country is a fraternity. They're not going to do that unless you really, really have a large group of persons coming about to try to form a large class action suit.
Yeah.
That's the only time you seem to get the attention. But they will not get up off do-nothing seat, because it's not in their best interest, I guess, to do so, to try and defend and protect the Bahamian people from these kind of stuff. But you know, again, another beautiful day in paradise.
Yes, sir.
So thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. You have
All
a
right.
wonderful day. You have a wonderful day. Let's continue reading from that article. More recently, vandalism incident at the site raised concerns about further delays. However, DRMA official said it is not expected to significantly impact construction. So then what is the reason for the delay? Anyway, meanwhile, regarding the government-issued RV trailers, Mr. Storr also confirmed that there is currently no new deadline for occupants to vacate, despite setting an initial deadline for October last year. This comes amid increasing complaints from Abaco residents about alleged criminal activity at the RV site and concerns that some occupants may not be authorized to live there. The trailers located next to the Marsh Harbor Government Complex were meant to provide temporary housing for those displaced by Dorian in 2019. In May, Mr. Storr said officials were conducting an assessment to determine who is occupying the trailers and whether they are legally allowed to remain. See, what I don't like is that word assessment. Why are y'all not conducting an investigation? Mr. Storr said yesterday, so that would have been the 30th of June, that he expects to receive an updated list of RV occupants during this week's trip to Abaco. Wow. Here's another Family Island story. Brylin Resorts struggling to control BPL narrative. First of all, this headline, I mean, look here. Whoever wrote that, give them $1 million. Brylin Resorts struggling to control BPL narrative. Why are they struggling to control BPL narrative? We going to a break, producer? Okay, sorry, it took me so long to get us there. We going to a break. When we get back from the break, Brylin Resorts struggling control to control BPL narrative. Chinese embassy makes donation to Disabilities Commission. Pace of protection against violence commission's establishment defended. Minister says, take my word that progress being made on domestic violence shelters. Those are some headlines. We're going to be right back.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96 Smart Talk all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Abaco, get ready for the summer's official rum and beer link off. Royalty Sounds presents Found Fast. Found Fast. Saturday, July 5th, Morris Harbor, Abaco. At the Royal Recreational Ground. Gates open 5 p.m., $20 entry. Ladies free before 8 p.m. With Nassau and Abaco's hottest DJ. Don't miss the Beer Drinkers versus Rum Drinkers competition.
Right, pulling for the best side, I took a lick.
Damn rum for me.
Found Fast, July 5th, Abaco. Sponsored by Collect, the Mayor of the Bahamas. Strip.
Sign up now for the Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. This is our 30th year, and we are doing it big. Sign up for 13 and under Tropical Gyro, 16 and under the Myers Group, Sun Oil, 20 and under in the Church Group, We Buy, You Sell, the Design Group in the Open Division, and for the first time, the Jamaica Bahamas Corporate Division. Competition begins July 14th to the 20th at the Hope Center. And then Kendall Isaacs. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Beautiful Bahamas. God bless the Bahamas. Beautiful Bahamas. United we stand, divided we fall. All for one and one for all. Many islands, one nation. Another milestone celebration.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. I get 2 minutes left. Let me run through these stories. But also, producer, when we retire, we storm in ZNS with our show idea, right? Because you know all the Bahamian music. I take it we going 1540 a.m. into pieces. That's because that's the old people. All my life I wanted to be on the old people station. Anyway, let's get back to this article. It ain't just the old people station. That's a joke. It's a family island thing. This is where family island is connected. This is what reaches them, right? It's a family island thing. Bryland Resort struggles to control BPL narrative. Let's get through this quickly. Harbor Island reports yesterday said they are, quote, trying to control the narrative as best as possible with our guests, close quotes. I want to remind you all, these Bryland, these the Harbor Island guests. Okay, these ain't the anyway, after the popular tourism destination was hit by more power outages, Henry Roll, managing partner of The Rock House, said Bahamas Power and Light's woes have become progressively worse since, quote, at least since May. Close quotes. Resulting in one of the resort's generators going out of service. Quote, it's bad. Mr. Roll said, quote, it's very bad. We're lucky we have a generator, but the thing is, we actually had two. The first one got blown because of the issues. The thing is, the power time of day, the voltage is never even on the island. So our property received high voltage and low voltage, so it would fluctuate between at least five times a minute. And then there was this big surge that came through and just blew out our alternator for the main generator. That's the generator plus the transfer switch plus the labor. That was about a $50,000 expense, close quotes. Mr. Roll said he was also given a number and an email to report the damage, but added, quote, honestly, in terms of what they're offering, it's close to helping. So you mean they don't compensate you for the damage caused, the actual cause? Lee Prozniak, Valentine's Resort and Marina's managing director, said, quote, I won't hold my breath until I get reimbursed regarding two bar refrigerators the resort has lost due to the outages and brownouts. Mr. Rold said that with BPL outages come water woes and internet interruptions. He said hotels that did have generators from those that did not. This is Harbor Island y'all talking about, you know. This ain't on the Potter's Key dock. This ain't the people who run in undocumented, not illegal, right? Unregulated Airbnb type ventures in Montague Harbor. This ain't that. This is your premier. This is your pristine. This is it. This is the top. This is the pinnacle. This is your tourism product, Ministry of Tourism. The Rock House, quote, have a huge stake, close quote, in the success of Harbor Island and have had to explain the outages away to tourists. Now, Mr. Prozniak added, quote, we should note that BPL has been very proactive with their communication during all of this in the WhatsApp groups. It's nice to at least know what is going on and have someone respond with even an educated guess as to when power may be restored. The other night we had to stay on generator for about 14 hours through the night. Being told that that would be the case was held that you can be. See, where I live? Where I live in the Eastern New Providence, we don't even get that luxury. We're not even on the monitoring grid. But Family Islanders, I'm not making fun of y'all experiences. It's horrible. Who would have thought 25 years into the 21st century, Family Islands are returning to a pre-1992 state? I don't know. It don't feel like a family across the archipelago. It don't feel like everybody is a part of this family. It feels like the Family Islands are the outside children that your mama don't want you to talk about. Yeah, we can't be treating Bahamians like that. The Commonwealth belongs to all of us. Not just Nassau, not just New Providence, not just the political class, not just the merchant class. It belongs to all of us. Anyway, I had more stories to get to. Maybe we get to them in the next hour. We see what Mr. Newry is saying on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.